cite you some of what, just some of the sources. Anyway, so I think someone sent me an article. I think either you sent me the article or Shimon Clement sent me the article. I sent it to you. That basically it was about, I think it was in Lakewood, I think, where the township police and the state division of fish and wildlife are investigating reports that children were brought to a goose nest to beat and harass the birds on a daily basis, perhaps to steal the eggs. So what does Judaism have to say about that? Okay. Well, okay. Well, we'll see. Okay. So I want to try to discuss that issue as well. The simple reading of the text, the simple reading of the psukim is, this is in, this is, we're talking about Shiluach HaKan here, Shiluach HaKain. It's Devarim Chav, what?
Which one is it?
Well, I think it's really Cain. I mean, Eva, you're the expert, right? It's Kan Tzipor, so it's Cain, right?
Right.
People say Shiluach HaKan. But okay.
Every time you said it, I want to say
it's
Akan, but you said it correctly.
Okay. So in Devarim, did I pronounce that wrong? Okay. In Devarim, Parachav Beis Psukim Vav to Zion. So the simple reading of the text is Ki Kare Kansi Por Lefanecha Badera. When you find a bird's nest, B'chaleit or Aretz Afrochim or Beitzim, the chicks or the eggs, Va'em Rovetz Al Afrochim or Hal Beitzim, and the mother is hovering over the sitting over the birds or the chicks, and losi kacha im al habanim and shalech tishlechazim. Don't take the mother with the children, and you should send away the mother bird and take the kids. So the simple understanding is there's no affirmative obligation. It's just that it's the simple reading is that if you happen to there's a mitzvah. Let me look and see if I can find this situation. If I happen to see a mother on chicks or eggs, and you want the chicks or the eggs, and you send the mother away. That's what it seems like, and that there is a reward for this. Okay, not a lot of times the Torah mentions a reward. Leman yitav lach v'harachta yomim. The pasuk says that you'll have a long life. Again, you know, Rashi I think plays this down a little bit because Rashi in the commentary, it's in source 2, he says v'harachta yomim kavachomer lematan scharon shel mitzvos chamuros. So this is based on the Gemara in Kiddushin, that he's saying, if with this mitzvah you get a major award, so too with other mitzvahs. So he's downplaying the uniqueness of this mitzvah. The two mitzvahs in the Torah that the reward is long life are this mitzvah and Kibud Av V'Em. And Kibud Av V'Em is seen as the severe mitzvah, which is an interesting point unto itself. And this is seen to be as a light mitzvah. So it's an interesting question as to whether you just look at these as just examples. Of course, the question is why were these selected? Or maybe there is something about longevity with respect to this mitzvah. Why this is so, I'm not sure, but we can theorize. But the point is, the reward is mentioned in this with respect to this particular mitzvah. I think you showed here the Gilyon Marsha is in Yerodea Reish Tzadi Beis Siv Aleph. That's in source 4. So he actually says that the reward of the mitzvah is actually you can have children, and it says ve'esa barim tikach lach. It's hinted at as your own. So they have a mitzvah of it's hinted at of actually a reward of children for doing this mitzvah. And we're going to see there are other midrashim which I found in Rabbi Slifkin's article, which mentions other rewards associated with this particular mitzvah.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah. Sure.
For the pasa ki kare kan tipor lefanecha badera, if you happen to come across a bird's nest on your way,
right?
But kufrat reish aleph is not happenstance; it happens to you. You know, it's right. A mikrez with a hey. Yeah. I thought so. I was totally.
Oh, ki.
Oh, that's so interesting.
If it right ki, so how would it say ki kare? I hear what you're saying. If this Kansipor calls out in front of you, I mean, right.
You happen to.
In other words, Mikra means it's like a coincidence.
Which is, if you happen to come.
Right. So that's more of a coincidence, but I think you could also say if it calls upon you also.
Except
for like.
That it excludes, you know, if you have a nest sitting in your
correct. No, but I'm saying that the term of yikare, even with called, I mean, I it's an interesting point you're making, but I think also the term of yikare, if it calls upon you, means, I think it also can mean that as well. I don't know other instances of ki yikare. I have to check this out, but that's an interesting point. Okay, so now regarding that, so we start to find a difference of opinion as to the reward between what Rabbi Slifin likes to call the rationalists and the mystics. Very often we've been discussing different mitzvos, and we've been discussing different mitzvos, and some of the mitzvos, sometimes we say this is more of a mystical approach, this is more of a rationalist approach, and, you know, we're not trying to fit, say, oh, everything's, there's a debate, everything between mystical and rationalist. But it seems with this that clearly is the case. You have this debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, I'm not sure if it was in your sources, but the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, it's actually in the article after this topic, the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Mem Ches. So his point is that he compares it to, there's another mitzvah, which is Oso Vespano, Lo Sishchatu B'Yom Echad, you're not allowed to shech, you're not allowed to slaughter an animal and its child on the same day, and the same notion for this as well. You know, when you're taking the eggs or the chicks, you try not to be so cruel. Again, we are allowed to eat animals. We are allowed to eat animals. So if you take the view that you shouldn't be cruel to animals at all, then you should. The extreme view is obviously you shouldn't eat any animals. So the Torah allowed us to. Eat animals and to use animals for food and to use their eggs for food, but try to minimize the harm, the pain done to the animals in doing so. That's the way the Rambam Mor Nevuchim explains this. The Ramban, so this I think he has quoted one of the sources. This is the Ramban in source 3 in the Chasam Sofer. This is the Ramban in Devarim Perichav Beis Pasuk Vav. It's an interesting question whether we do things, whether animals have, I don't know, feelings that we should care for. The Rambam thinks yes. In the Mor Nevuchim, the Ramban says no, but we should be nice to animals because it engenders compassion on our behalf. In other words, yeah, it's the same notion, but it's an interesting question. In other words, is the beneficiary of this mitzvah the animal or you? That's the debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. According to the Rambam, the primary beneficiary of this mitzvah is the animal, because you're helping the animal. You're minimizing the pain that's caused to the animal. According to the Ramban, the beneficiary is you, because you learn the midah of compassion. The way we learn midos is not simply by learning them, but is acting them out. And if we act compassionately, then we will be compassionate. So that's a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, but it's all about compassion. It's all about mercy, it's all about compassion. And that seems to be one school of thought. And then all of a sudden comes the Zohar. Okay. But it's out there. Okay? We find the Zohar. I'm going to read to you. I want to read to you a translation which is a fuller translation from the Zohar. Because it's not it takes away any notion of compassion associated with this mitzvah. The Zohar in Midrash HaNe'elam. You don't have the Jewish source, it's Zohar Chadash. I'll just translate. It says, there is an angel appointed over the birds, and when Israel performs this commandment, and the mother departs weeping and her children crying, he agonizes for his birds, and asks God, does it not say his compassion is on all of his works? Why did you decree on that bird to be exiled from her nest? And what does the Holy One do? He gathers all of his other angels and says to them, this angel is concerned for the welfare of a bird and is complaining of its suffering. Is there none amongst you who will seek merit on my children Israel and for the Shechina which is in exile and whose nest in Jerusalem has been destroyed and whose children are in exile under the hand of harsh masters? Is there no one who seeks compassion for them and will attribute merit to them? Then the Holy One issues a command and says, for my sake I shall act, and I shall act for my sake, and compassion is thereby aroused upon the Shekhinah and the children in exile. This, we find this Zohar, we found this in the Chavos Yar, the Chuvos Chavos Yar, Simon Samech Zayin, where he takes the view that and he's also, it's also quoted in that Chassam Sofer and Shut Chelak Aleph Siman Kuf, where he cites La Orer Yalala Yalalas Ima Ila Albanel, to arouse the crying of the mother for her children. And if you think about it, this approach is the exact opposite of the approach of the Rambam and the Ramban. According to this approach, we don't act nicely to the mother bird. And we want an angel to cry out for the mother bird. And as a result, if a Kaddish Baruch Hu, if God's going to care about the mother bird, certainly he should care for Klal Yisrael. Okay? So again, this is the opposite extreme of the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim. So in other words, the Rambam says animals have feelings too. The Ramban takes the middle view and he says, animals don't have feelings that we should care about in this regard, but it's to develop our own midos. And then the Zohar is saying, be cruel to the animal, not always. This is one particular instance. And in this article, Rabbi Slifkin explains that the Vilna Gaon is trying to justify this. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes tells us, most instances in the Torah, we have to act kindly and compassionately. This is one instance that we don't. It's Gzeiras HaKasuv. Maybe teach you that sometimes we shouldn't, that there are times when God commands us to, that sometimes we have to do difficult things. This obviously is not very PC. But the point of the Zohar is that we are acting in a way that is, in a sense, cruel to this bird, and somehow this will result in our tefillos being answered, which is a difficult concept for us. But this debate between, let's say, the Rambam and the Ramban on the one hand and the Zohar on the other hand can explain a lot of other questions associated with this particular mitzvah. And by the way, the Chassam Sofer, I think it was in this, the Chassam Sofer, this is in source 7, in this tshuva, Chelak Aleph Sif Siman Kuf, he writes that Amnon b'tshuvos chavos yar siyem tam b'shem sefer azor b'shiluach ha'em lo'ra yalelas ema ila baneha. It is true that the Zohar, who is cited by the Chavos Yair, Rav Yair Bachrach, who said, he's an Achron, Rav Yair Bachrach, he said that the goal is to awaken the crying of the mother and her children. Im kein mitzvah lahadir achar kan, kidei la'ora rachmi la'al banah. Therefore, we should try to do this mitzvah. Ulefiza leka bishum achzarios. It's not cruelty because God commanded it. The filo im letzorach hadas adam lo yigi rachmei shemayo balichayim bikoshke letzorach mitzvah. He argues that he said this is cruelty. Why? How are we allowed to eat animals to begin with? So obviously we are allowed to do things for our benefit. We're allowed to slaughter animals for meat. So certainly, if this is a mitzvah, we're certainly allowed to do this. But then he says, "Ach shas dilod al korch lo svir lehachi." The Gemara doesn't hold like this. V'yadua heche de plige hanigla im hanistar, and it's known when there's debate between what is revealed and what is hidden. Ein lanu esek benistaros. Don't involve yourself with the hidden matters. Vaniglos ladu vanenu. He's citing the from the Tzafi, right? And that which is revealed is for us. In other words, what at least the Chassam Sofer's position is that there is an inconsistency between the Zohar's approach and between what the other Rishonim hold, and it's a simple reading of the Gemara. And this goes into the broader question of what your view of the Zohar is. Who wrote it? Was this authored by Rishon Bar Yochai? If you believe that this is authored by Rishon Bar Yochai, and it has the status of Tanaitic literature, right? You know, the Tanoim are, right, the Tanaim are the era when the Mishnah was written until the year 200. Then you have the Talmudic era, the Amoraim, from 200 to 500. And generally speaking, the Gemara doesn't argue on the Mishnah, right? Amoraim don't argue on Tanaim. And then you have 7th to 11th century, you have basically the Gaonim, the Gaonic era. We don't know much. We don't learn a lot. We don't learn Gaonic literature that much for various reasons. We sometimes learn a little bit historically. But then what we do learn a lot are the era of the Rishonim to 11th to 16th century. That's Rashi, Tosos, the Rosh, the Rif, culminating in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rabbah. So now the Chassam Sofer, he's in the era of the Achronim after the Shulchan Aruch is written. And what he's saying is, we follow the Gemara versus the Zohar. The Zohar became popularized, I think it's in the 12th or 13th century in Spain. So some people say it was just written then, and others say, no, it was written by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and it was preserved quietly, and it became popular in the Middle Ages. So this question about how seriously do you take the Zohar, and that's a question in many areas of Jewish law. And this is one of these areas where you have the Zohar goes against a simple reading of the Gemara. So the question is, how do you try to say they argue? Do you say you try to fit the Zohar together with it? And attempts are made to try to reconcile to the best we can. But what's clear here, it seems that you have two different approaches here. You have the mystical approach, which is we tend to grow up thinking Shiluach HaKan, Shiluach HaKein is all about compassion, either for the bird or for us. Of course, the question is, well, what are we doing? You know, is it really compassionate? And then we have the Zohar, which doesn't seem to take that approach. So I think that's related, really, to another question which you studied here as well, which is, should you try to observe this mitzvah? The simple reading of the text in Chumash seems to say, maybe not. It's like at the very least, you could make the argument. You could make the argument. See, there are two types of ways of looking at this as an optional mitzvah. One way of looking at this is saying that it's completely optional. You don't have to, even if you see a mother bird and some eggs, you don't have to, you have no obligation to shoo away the mother bird at all. You don't have to do that. Oh, sorry?
If you don't want the eggs, so you don't want the chicks. Then
I understand. But so maybe because there's a mitzvah.
There are three approaches.
One is there's a mitzvah which is hard to read according to the simple reading of the text. The other extreme view, the other side is saying it's only if you want the eggs or you want the chicks. So this is what you're supposed to do. There is an in-between reading, which the Chavos Yair, I think, he does say this, and I think one of the sources, where he says, you read the pasuk like this, Ki kare l'chakan tzipor baderech, there's no independent mitzvah, but to go to search out for a nest. But if you happen to find this situation, so if you read the Chumash, what does it say? It says, Ki kri kans pola fadecha madera pachol eitz al ha eretz efrochim o beitzim va'em rovetz al efrochim o beitzim lo sikach ha'em al badim shalach tishlach es ha'em es ha'em tikach lach. You could read this to say that there's no mitzvah to search out this type of situation, but if you find the situation on the road, don't take the mother with the chicks, send away the mother bird and take the chicks. There is a plausible reading of the text to say that if you see that you don't have to go search for the nest, but if you see this situation, read the text. Don't take the mother and the eggs together. What should you do? Send away the mother and take the chicks. I think that is a plausible reading, and that's actually how the Chavos Yair reads this. But I'm saying there are different. But this question of should we try to fulfill this mitzvah? Is it only if we need the eggs? Right? I think that relates to this question that we have here.
And is there nothing that trumps the mitzvah? Meaning, like in the article in Liquid, right? Like concerns of Chil Hashem or whatever. Like, would that doesn't factor into whether or not you would do something like this?
It might. So that's a general question, right? In other words, when does Chil Hashem apply? In other words, that's an interesting question, right? In other words. If we do certain things and people look how cruel we are, do something, I mean there are certain views that we take that are countercultural in some instances. Let's say, I don't know.
Shechting in general.
Shechting in general. Like, again, you could to do it privately. So that it is a question. If there are multiple ways of doing it to try to do it, does Chil Hashem play a role? I think it can play a role. I'm not justifying this. I think that for those, I think there are ways to do it also, even if you hold to mitzvah, I think there are ways to do it in a less cruel fashion. I think it's a fascinating question. Maybe I should, that's a good topic to think about in the future. In other words, how does Chil Hashem relate to the overall mitzvah if something can be done in multiple ways, so maybe try to minimize it?
Yeah. I mean, I had the experience. I wasn't trying to take the eggs. There was a nest in the yard. I mean, obviously,
right.
it was not this case. But I saw that the male bird got agitated and got upset when I got anywhere near the bush.
That was during the day.
Yes.
The males are during the day. This is apparently the male.
He wasn't sitting. She was
just watching. Yeah, yeah. The male.
She was in this, and he watched
that. Right. These are all questions. Why? Why is it only? Why is it only the males, not the females? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It could be there's a bigger connection to the female. That if it's trying to teach us compassion, maybe there's more compassion associated.
The male is protecting the female because the female has to sit there.
Right.
And the male is protecting. That's why I was surprised with the first story about the geese, because geese will attack you.
Right.
People have gotten hurt from geese attacking if you come any place near the nest.
But Rabbi, why?
When the female's sitting, yeah. Male. Yeah.
Why have they attached this arichat yamim to this such a simple mitzvah? And boom, you have arichat yamim as opposed to kibud av v'aim.
No, it's not opposed to. They also have a kibud av v'aim. No, so what I'm...
Yeah.
No.
It's a very hard mitzvah to fulfill.
No, but that's the point.
You would think people would be searching for this opportunity.
So first of all, there are people. There are people who... And I was gonna say at the end of this year, there are people who may have difficulty with children. People may have illnesses, and there are those who suggest, they have them fulfill the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKed. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, but again, it depends about how you understand this. Harach Yomim. Is this an example of an easy mitzvah? And the point is, they just took an easy mitzvah, very difficult mitzvah, and just pick both of them, and the message is, they're not going to say Varachti Yomim, and your lives will be lengthened with respect to every single mitzvah. Maybe the point is just to give these two as examples of an easy mitzvah, a difficult mitzvah, and it's to include everything, or is something unique about this mitzvah. I think that question also relates to this overall question about how much should we push to fill this mitzvah. But let me just make this point, is that, it again, like I said, it doesn't seem that gets required if you don't want the eggs. So actually, I was going to say this now. Let me read. So first of all, the Torah says Varach Yomim, right? Torah says that you're going to have a long life. Again, is this an example or is this specific? Okay, that's a question. Let me just read to you a few other midrashim. So this is a midrash. You don't have the resources. This is for the article. In the midrash Dvar Rabba, in Perek Vav, I think it's Parsha Vav. I think a Pas or Vav. The translations. These are the mitzvos whose reward is wealth, and there are mitzvos whose reward is honor. And what is the reward for this mitzvah? That if you do not have children, I will grant you children. How do we know this? As it's stated, send away the mother, and what reward you take, you shall take the young. So that's probably the Gilead Marsha that we saw. Then you have a midrash Tanchuma Ki Teitze. How do we know that one mitzvah drags along another? As it is written, when you happen across a nest of birds, send away the mother, that it should be good for you and your days shall be lengthened. And what is written afterwards, when you build a new home, you shall merit to build a new house. So you got a new house if you do this, okay? Or then you merit that. And one more, the Midrash Dvar Rabba, Vav Zayin, another explanation. What does it mean? Send away the mother, that if you fulfill this mitzvah, you will hasten the coming of the Mashiach, about whom it is written, sending. We're going to send the Mashiach, so that's how do we know it's written, sending the ox and the donkey. Okay, so you got children, you got log life, you have a house, and you got Mashiach. Okay, so I'm just pointing out to you that on the one hand, you have this, again, it might only mean if you do this when you need to, you have some of these rewards. It seems to me seems to be that if it's an issue of compassion when you're taking the eggs, then the point is you better not take them all together. In other words, if your mindset when it comes to this mitzvah is it's about compassion, and simply, what's the point? That you're allowed to use animals as food, you're allowed to use birds as food, kosher birds, you're allowed to use the eggs as food. But when you're doing it, try to be as compassionate as possible. So if you're going to take the eggs, try to make sure that the mother is not there. So it will be as humane as possible in these circumstances. If you take that approach, then it would seem to me that you should not try to fulfill this mitzvah. It would seem to
be a vegetarian.
No. It means that you should not run to try to say, I got to fill this mitzvah of shiloh hakein. If you're in a situation where you want to take eggs. But when you don't, it would probably be more compassionate, not just to walk away. On the other hand, if it's to try to arouse the crying of the mother for the children, to arouse God's mercy, a la the Zohar, that it would seem that you should try to run after this mitzvah. And indeed, you have some, you have different approaches. The Chavos Yar says you should, because he's following the Zohar, said you should try to perform this mitzvah if you see this. The Chassam Sofer says we follow the Gemara. We have the Chazon Ish, who tried proof of the Gemara in Chulin, that there's no obligation. And I want to read to you what the Torah Tamimah, so the Torah Tamimah is in Achron, so this is, the Torah Tamimah is a commentary on the Chumash, Rabbi Baruch HaLevi Epstein. He lived from 1860 to 1941. He's not in, sorry, it's from the article. Okay, he says the following. He says, in general, I am in astonishment. How could someone possibly think that the Torah commanded us to do this, even against his will regarding the outcome? For it is clear and beyond all doubt that of the foundational reads of this mitzvah in general is that we should not be cruel and take the mother while she is sitting on her young. It is only because at the end of the day, the goal of all creatures is that they were created for man, just as slaughtering an animal for food is permitted, that the Torah permitted man to take the young in this way, via sending away the mother beforehand, so that she should not see her young being taken. And if so, it is clear that the Torah is only granting an allowance with this, but with someone who does not... Not at all want to involve himself, it is certain that he is permitted to simply pass it by. In fact, he is making things even better for the mother and the young by leaving them together. There is no argument at all that he should be obligated to break them apart. Just as there is no argument that the mitzvah of do not slaughter an animal and its young on the same day is a warning against slaughtering them both, but that it is a mitzvah and obligation to slaughter one of them. There's no mitzvah to slaughter any animals, but if you decide to do this, so be as humane as possible. So this approach resonates a lot with me, with the sort of the compassionate approach. But others look at rewards, they're looking at, maybe, I don't know, let's say school loans, they're looking at certain, these kind of rewards potentially, maybe, and they follow the Zohar, more of a Kabbalistic approach. This doesn't seem to be the approach of the Gemara, of the Ram and the Ramban, according to the Chassam Sofer, at least his view, is that it's not consistent with the Gemara. They will say, you should try to fulfill this mitzvah.
The people who say you should try to fulfill this mitzvah, regardless of whether or not you need the eggs, or you're going to use the eggs, how do they justify the fact that this is only a mitzvah for certain types of birds? Meaning, if you could do this, and you don't need the eggs, and you're not going to use them for anything, then why can't you do this with any bird? Why does it have to be a kosher bird? What does it make a difference if you're not going to use it for anything?
There could be... Don't know. I mean, we could even ask this question... You could ask this question, by the way, even regardless of what approach you have. I think these types of questions, you potentially could ask the question either way, I think.
Well, if you're only going to do it because you need the eggs... Then it can only be eggs.
Oh, you're saying for that reason.
But if you can fulfill this mitzvah for no reason at all, then it doesn't matter what kind of bird it is.
It could be a kosher bird is a holier bird. Maybe they only do with something. We can create reasons. I'm saying it's not.
Parallel it with how we should behave to the animals that we use for food. Then you can't. It can't be a non-kosher.
No, right. I understand. I'm curious how the approach that this should be done no matter what, regardless of whether or not you have a use for the young at all, how they justify this only being a mitzvah for certain
birds. I guess the point is maybe the paradigm is generally when you're taking the eggs. So we're creating a similar. We're not going to distinguish it to this.
Okay.
So in any case, that whether, you know, whether say the children are trying to shoo away the birds to get the, just so whether that's appropriate for them to do this may depend on your approach to this question, with even more mystic or rationalist approach. And we'll get back to that in a bit about how you do that, because one of the things that you read, I think, was how you're supposed to send it away. You don't have to beat it. You can simply say, shoo.
No, but they're talking about cutting off the mother's
wings.
No, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But they talk about it.
No. So talk, Wait. Okay. So we'll talk about that in a bit. Okay. We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second. Okay.
Some people do it just because, we found a nest with the mother. We can do
a mitzvah. Right. No, so I'm saying.
Not even thinking about the reward. Just.
No, the mitzvah, right? That's a mitzvah, right? So again, so that's the question. It's an interesting point, right? Because you say, I want to fulfill the mitzvah,
and they don't want this.
Right. Okay, but right, they don't want the eggs. So it's an interesting question. In other words, you do fulfill the mitzvah, but maybe if you think that the purpose of the mitzvah, that there's a value to, what's the value of the mitzvah? It's compassion. Then it might not be so compassionate to shoot the mother, right? Maybe not, right? So that's
I have a question.
Yeah.
Say someone finds a nest with the mother sitting, and they say, oh, we're going to do this mitzvah, and they shoo the mother away, and then you have to take an egg, or you just shoo the mother away. It's not doing the mitzvah, right?
Right. So it would seem... No.
Talk about if I think there's another egg, then the mother comes back, someone else could come over and do the mitzvah too.
So it seems that you take the eggs, but that, yeah, you take the eggs,
you
and they, you can put it back.
You
can put it back. Right.
Sometimes they say they'll reject that it.
Right. The what?
If you take an egg out of a nest and put it back,
the mother usually will reject want to come because.
But how does the mother know? What if you pick it up with like a spoon and then you put it back down?
You know, they know
because Rabbi Neustadt,
the rotation they have on it. They know things.
They will never sit back on an egg.
Yeah. I don't know. The Rabbi Neustadt, I was going to quote him. He's a I think he's a Rav in Detroit. So he recommends you use a spoon to lift the eggs out of the nest, and then might not to break them, then return to the nest. So if you're fulfilling the mitzvah. Okay, so let's talk about, we'll talk about how to do that in a bit. I think that also relates to this broader question. So first of all, the definition in one's property. Okay, the definition in one's property. So if it's mizuman, so what's mizuman? So if it's prepared for you, readily available, right? So if it's readily available in your possession. The Gemara seems to conclude that this long Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis in source 12, so the Gemara seems to conclude that when there's something called like how do you acquire something? So if the bird or if the nest is in and the eggs are in your possession, if the eggs are in your possession, then you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKed if the eggs are in your possession. So how do you acquire something? So you either acquire something by picking something up, or the other way you can do it is called Kinyan Chatzer. If something lands in your property, your courtyard, your backyard, so you automatically acquire it. However, the Gemara concludes you only acquire it when? After the mother bird gets up and leaves the eggs. Okay? After the mother bird leaves the eggs. Now, the Shulchan Aruch in Yordea Reish Tzadi Beis Seif Beis rules like this, that if it's in your house, then you're exempt, it's in your property. If it's in the courtyard, you have an egg in your courtyard, then it's acquired once the mother is raised from the eggs. So that's when you are acquired, because you can't acquire it when the mother's on the eggs, because you can't acquire the eggs because she's there. So you have to shoo her away. So even though the eggs are in your chatzer, in your courtyard, you don't acquire them until the mother flies away. So then you have this debate between Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Moshe Feinstein in Yoredeya, Chelek Dal, Simon Memhei. So Moshe Feinstein basically takes the view that if you could have negative intent that a property should not acquire your eggs. So if you see that the bird is starting to create a nest, right? It's starting to create a nest, and it's ready to. So you could have the halacha that your courtyard, your backyard automatically acquires anything that goes into it, so that only applies if you have positive intent or no intent one way or the other. But if you have negative intent and you say, I'm hereby not acquiring anything in this nest or the nest or anything in the nest, so Moshe Feinstein says that then you could essentially say I'm not acquiring this, and therefore he says if it's not a merit for, I'm sorry, the previous paragraph where he says that So he says that any of these birds, essentially in an orchard or fields, the chutz or the courtyard automatically acquires the eggs when the mother basically, you know, flies away from them. So, however, but not the eggs that you have no intention to acquire. Another way you can do that also to fill the mitzvah, let's say already the eggs are there. The Rebbe shouldn't say this, but presumably you could also be mafkir. You can render the eggs hefker. Even if it's in your property, you could render it odorless. A number of years back, there was someone in this community who asked, they wanted to fill the mitzvah shiloh hakein. There were the birds in there. There's a mother bird and eggs in their backyard, and so we were mafkir. We rendered the. I'm not sure if we actually did it in the end, but they were asking me about it, so I hadn't looked into this topic that well. But I remember I said that you can if you need three people, and you need to render. You can say that I don't want to acquire this egg to begin with, but once you acquire the egg. So in order to say, I want this to be hefker, not my ownerless, you need to do it in front of three people, okay? So I think we had three people render an ownerless, but I think it never worked out in the end. But anyway, you could be mafker, you could render the eggs ownerless as well. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach disagrees, right? The Mincha Shlomo, Tinyana Kuf Vav, because he says, Muzuman means readily available. So even if it's not yours, and you can simply have the eggs that are in your courtyard, in your backyard. So right, you said it's not mine. But it's still mizuman, it's still readily available. Why? Because what can you do? You can simply say, I want to acquire them now. So it doesn't have to be. Moshe Feinstein says, if it's not yours, then it's not mizuman. It's not, quote unquote, readily available. As long as you don't own it, you can fill the mitzvah of shiloh haken. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, no, that's not the test case. The test case is whether it's readily available, and all you have to do is simply say, I hereby want to acquire these eggs. You don't have to do anything because it's already in your backyard. So he disagrees with this, but Moshe Feinstein would say that you would be allowed to do this situation if you find a nest in your backyard. And then we talked about, I think there's something about a secured courtyard, right? That if you feel comfortable, even if, like my backyard is not locked, you know, people can walk in, but I feel comfortable. I'm not going to leave very expensive things, but if people feel comfortable generally leaving some stuff in the backyard, that's considered their own courtyard. There was a discussion about whatever, an air conditioning unit in a shul, okay, in one of the sources. But that is, so that's in terms of it has to be in your courtyard. Someone asked me if the halacha applies if you know the location of a bird's nest that was near an apartment where he was staying. Like, you know, it wasn't yours, but you know where it was. Can you fill the mitzvah shiloh hakein? It seems to me that you can. Just because you know where it is, it seems the test case is whether it's in your possession or not. Just because you know where it is, maybe according to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I guess if you're walking by, I don't know if it's readily available to you. I'm not sure. I thought that you could fill the mitzvah shiloh hakein based on that question. But anyway, that's the issue about, you know, if it's in your backyard. If you see an animal nesting, a bird nesting in the backyard, you can simply say that I don't want to acquire the eggs, and then if you want to fill the mitzvah, you could just shoot the bird away. Now, there's there's a whole debate about how you do this, right? So you have this, you have two different opinions with it. What is it? What, this is the Gemara Chula Daf Kuf Mem Alpha Mebeis. Rav Huda says Biraglehon, source 18, with its feet. Rav Huda says Bagfei, with its wing. And there are two different ways to understand this debate. Do you actually have to, you know, is the act of sending mean you actually have to hold on to it and send it? Right, that's one opinion. That's Rashi and the Rambam. That's Rashi number one, and the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Hey, that you have to do an act of sending, right? Which seems, you know, less humane, I guess, right?
And more difficult.
And more difficult. And more difficult. I don't know. Okay, but that's not the way we hold. That's the way Shulchan Aruch holds. Shulchan Aruch holds like the second approach in Rashi, that says that you cannot. You know, you cannot cut off her wings. You actually cannot cut off her wings, but you don't have to pick up the bird. This debate, right? That basically you can simply shoo the bird away. So we hold like the second, the Shulchan Aruch holds like the second version in Rashi, that essentially states that the question is, are you allowed to cut off the wings and force her to leave by foot or not? And we hold that you're not allowed to cut off her wings. That's the debate in the Gemara according to the second approach. Whether you're allowed to cut off her wings, and the answer is you're not allowed to cut off her wings. And
when they say that, do they mean just like, you know, snip them so they can't fly?
Correct.
Yes. Not like actually cutting off the wings.
No, snip them so they can't fly. And that's what the Chazon Ish writes. It seems the Chazon Ish in Hilchos Shiluch HaKein Kufayin Hey Bey says that you have to, what?
A wild bird whose wings are clipped is going to die, and so are her babies.
Okay.
So I don't understand at all. When you talk about a cockatiel, you're feeding the cockatiel, so it's not the same.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't even understand where they came to this.
Yeah, I don't know. Are there different types of birds? Are there different types of birds? Are some birds, can some birds survive even if their wings are clipped?
Well, not in the wild.
Well, they can't.
But that's the point. No, but that's his point. That's his point.
That's
the Chazon Ish says you can't do that.
Right.
No, that's his whole point.
It was considered.
Right. Well, it was because they were debating whether the bird had to leave on foot. And how could you force it to leave on foot?
Right.
It has wings.
Because again, they're looking at legal terms here. They're trying to define terms here. That the term shaleach, what does it mean to send away? So that's associated, it's a legal term. The Torah used that specific term, and that specific term generally means by foot. So what does that mean exactly? So they're debating these terms, but the Shulchan Aruch, you're sort of weighing what you think sort of should make sense versus you're reading the text and you're trying to interpret the text. So, but what emerges, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you cannot cut off her wings. But also, what it also means, you don't need to pick the bird up, okay? You don't have to pick. You could even just shoo her away. You could, you know, scare her gently. Yeah, you clap.
Right.
So you could shoo the bird away.
You're saying to throw a stone.
I'm saying. So there's, in other words, you could do it in a more humane way, I guess. Again, assuming you want the eggs, so to shoo the mother bird and take the eggs, so but at the end of the day, if people needed food, what do you do if people need food? Okay, people need food, what do you do? Okay, so they need food.
So
what?
So you shoot
the mother away. Okay, so that is the most humane way of looking at it, the most compassionate way. If you take that approach, you don't hit the bird with a stick. Just shoo the bird away and take the eggs. There's the most humane way of viewing this, or character building way of viewing this mitzvah, is that only if you need the eggs or the chicks, then shoo the bird away and take the chicks and take the eggs.
Right. So that brings me back to the concept of vayikare, that you happened upon. I don't think when you say you happened upon, it's like an issue of sayad, that they're out hunting for
Correct.
The bird. So you don't need the eggs because you happened upon it. It's
right.
Just, there's it's something
the intent is different. Right.
It's just not
well, I guess you're allowed to eat. I guess that's an interesting question. Are you okay? You have to.
Maybe
you don't. You have. Listen. You don't have to eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to eat meat. You know, even some kids come home for dinner. Why are we not having meat? We have to have meat. Okay, no, you can have fish one day for dinner. You can have a thing. But I'm saying you could make the argument you don't have to have meat either to begin with. So in other words, what's our relationship with animals, with birds, with as food? So the approach of the Torah is saying you're allowed to take the eggs for food. And by the way, what's interesting is this rule that I don't have an answer for this question, but
you're, the idea of taking it for schooler, or
no, not just schooler right now. Let's say the most, well, I think the, for us, the most humane approach that we think makes sense, at least from the Ramban's approach. I'm not talking for schooler. What I'm saying is, by the way, this doesn't apply. Let's say you have a chicken farm.
Well, then you own it.
Then you own it. So what?
So it doesn't. That's you can't do the mitzvah. Right. It's yours already.
But I'm saying, so then you don't have to shoot the mother bird away. Why not?
If you're talking about it from like a humane perspective, yeah, you probably still should. Okay, it's not a mitzvah.
Okay, but why not? But why did the Torah then tell you that you should? Why did the Torah do it in a case we happen upon
so
versus
have a chicken farm? The chickens go down.
Okay, so maybe it's more right. So we have to think about it.
So why not?
Okay.
You could attract them by, you don't feed them where they nest.
Right.
And then you put the
I understand. I'm saying there could be, you might have certain rights over certain, in other words, could be that if it's your livelihood, if it's, that you have more rights to do whatever you want. If it's you happen to be on the road, you have less rights. I don't know. We have to think about some of these things. Hard to know.
Cool so with that.
You could say that you can look at this as a custom. We don't know. But I'm saying it's interesting. Whatever reason you have to account for, you have to account for this distinction between, why the eggs that you grow, that you raise, it seems you have more rights to do with them, with what you want, maybe because they're your own, versus that might be more of a necessity that you happen to see it on the road, and then there are more responsibilities, maybe.
Yeah, yours, you're taking care of the chickens or okay, the birds.
You're also, if you send them away, you probably risk a monetary loss.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. Okay, I understand.
Everything's allowed when there's okay, monetary loss.
Okay. No, but in other words, I don't think everything is, but I understand. No, but what I'm saying is, right, in other words, if it's yours and it's part of your business, your livelihood, so there's greater allowance than if it's trying to build compassion. Because
So we
these are different values. I don't know if you thought about that, but we're trying to balance different values.
You make the distinction if the bird is like in a recess in your roof or something.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be in your
property. You don't own them.
Yeah. So no, but you would if it was on your roof, then it would be acquired because by dint of the fact that it's on your property, mm-hmm, unless you say I hereby not acquiring it.
And you can't do that with like chicken farm chicken eggs. Wait. Meaning like would Moshe Feinstein say you could just like say none of this belongs to me?
What do you mean?
Maybe
chicken farm eggs. Their
mother? Like I'm saying, can you just say like these eggs don't belong to me, and then like do this mitzvah a billion times?
You mean, yeah, I think so. I would see we return them and do it. Someone else can do it again, right?
Well, meaning like you could just be like these eggs don't like Rav Moshe Feinstein said
these
have the intention that these don't belong to you, and then. Yeah.
Well, that's it. But that's what he's doing. That's what he said you could do. You say, how many can you keep on doing it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You could go into business.
Right. But there are the things where they have, there are things like that where they
the one where the egg is slightly visible, but
that was in the Gemara.
No, that was the Gemara was saying that at what point do you own the egg? At what point is the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKed apply? Mm-hmm. So we're saying that as long as the Gemara concludes, as long as the mother is sitting on the egg, so it doesn't belong to you. So you can't do that.
This is also for live chicks, right?
Yeah, for live chicks also. Okay, so that's a couple more things. So let's talk about the bracha, right? So that's a debate between the Ravid and the Rashba. How do you view this mitzvah? Is it a positive mitzvah or a negative mitzvah? It's a lav or naseh? It's both. Don't take the mother with the chick. Send away the mother bird. If something is fundamentally the Ravid says you make a bracha. The Rashba says no. This is fundamentally a mitzvah lo taseh. It's fundamentally a prohibition, and therefore we don't make mitzvahs. We don't recite brachos on mitzvahs lo taseh. So that's an interesting debate. And you have the Binyan Tziyon, It's a different view that we don't make brachos. We don't make brachos because of the bird might fly away. It's being seen a chadash siman yadalet that there's sometimes we make brachos. Most times we make brachos before we do the mitzvah. Sometimes we make brachos after. We're not sure if we're going to go through with it. I think that's right. So here we're saying we don't make the bracha at all because the bird might fly away. And we see that some say you make the bracha without shemu machol. You say baruch sher kitzav zvanu l'shaleach hakein because that way you're not potentially saying God's name in vain. So this is a debate. Yeah, and some of these svarim, the modern day Shiluch HaKein svarim, they say that's what he writes here, that the most poskim say don't recite the bracha because we're not sure whether we should or not. And then we had talked about only a kosher bird, and there's a list, right? We have a list of different kosher birds: the American robin, Canada goose, European robin, and I won't know which. You know how to spot them anyway, okay? And only the mother bird, so that the mothers are generally there from sunset to sunrise. So I'll finish with the following quote. It's not from your book. Rabbi Neustadt writes, "The best time to perform the mitzvah when the eggs are 1 to 2 days old, or when the young birds are 8 to 9 days old, but the mitzvah can be performed whenever the mother roosts on them. After ascertaining the mother is a kosher species, quietly approach nesting area and gently chase the mother bird away from the nest. Once the mother is gone, take a wooden spoon should be used to lift the eggs out of the nest, making sure not to break them. Lift them up 10 to 12 inches, which is about 3 tefachim, to acquire them, and then return them to the nest." So I wonder, I don't know, I don't know enough to know whether the birds will still be able to use that whatever to roost to sit on them after that fact. So again, he writes here, try to do it gently. And again, there's this push and pull between again the approach of the compassion versus long life. You know, you want to evoke mercy from Hashem on us. How big you want to follow the Zohar. So I think that's what's going into some of these. Some of these statements about we should try to do this mitzvah even if we don't want the eggs, and I think so hopefully this could explain some of the different approaches. And then they even have Rabbi Slifkin's article. He writes he brought there were these posters, Moda'a Besamechet, I got a really great announcement. Misha wrote to the Kai Mitzvah Sasei Daraisa, the Shiloh Hakein, Dichsiv Bo Laman Yitav Loch, Varach the Abib, if you want for this mitzvah, because about this mitzvah it says, they'll be good for you, you'll have good life, a skula, Yitzaltel, and he has a phone number. So you can call if you want to do this mitzvah, because people are looking for Zuchuyot. But I think that explains sort of the different approaches to different people who take this in different directions.
That's counterintuitive. The message is that you should improve yourself.